dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man I've had the privilege of knowing and working with in a number of different incarnations and phases of this war we're in today and have been for, well, many, many decades, is John Lehman. He formerly served as the Secretary of the Navy under President Ronald Reagan. He was also a member of the 9/11 Commission and the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. He's the author of numerous books, including On Seas of Glory, Command of the Seas, and Making War. He's also the author, from time to time, of extraordinarily important essays, some of which turn up in places like the New York Daily News. One caught my attention recently is entitled, We're Gonna Need a Bigger Navy. In a world of many threats, our ships at sea are as crucial as drones. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us, sir.
Well, it's great to be back, and I appreciate your having read my mother's introduction to me.
I've committed it to memory, John. This goes with the territory. Well, listen, let's talk a little bit about your larger point, maybe by starting with a microcosmic example. We're witnessing the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, sort of pleading with the Chinese not to dredge up any more islands in the South China Sea, from which it appears they are determined to project power, perhaps at the expense of a lot of American national interests, security interests included. What's going on here, and how does that bear on this question of the size of our Navy and its availability to deal with such developments?
Well, it's a great question and timely question, Frank. First, let me just set the tone right with regard to our new Secretary of Defense. I would not call the remarks that he made at the conference pleading. For the first time in a long time, we've had a Secretary of Defense who is not afraid to speak out and who understands the need for a strong defense. He is in an administration that perhaps he's the only one that thinks that way, but that was a very forthright set of statements that he made over there, and thank God.
I took the point, John, but he did kind of put it, to them to please stop putting these islands up, and I pleading or otherwise, I think the context in which he's making these remarks is one in which the Chinese are clearly considering the United States to be a waning power. Don't you think?
Without question, they. It's not a matter of rhetoric. It's all very well for the Secretary of Defense to confront them, but the fact is that the Obama administration has been steadily disarming us by reducing the shipbuilding program and reducing all of the forces. And the Chinese, they don't pay attention to rhetoric. They pay attention to action, and they can see that we are consciously reducing our forces. Compared to the Reagan administration today, we have an army that is just a little over a third the size of it was in Reagan's administration. The Navy is less than half what it was in the Reagan administration. The Air Force is less than half the size that it was in the Reagan administration, but the bureaucracy, as you know, is more than double the size it was in the Reagan administration. And the Chinese see this. They understand power, and they see that we are already overstretched with the Obama administration having to go to 10-month deployments for our Navy instead of 6-month deployment,
which is just crushing to morale, as you know, as both a former naval officer as well as a former Secretary of the Navy. John Layman, you used in another of your pieces, and I want to turn to that very quickly here, the number of 970,000 Pentagon bureaucrats, as you put it, whose paralyzing bloat has made a hash of most Army, Navy, and Air Force weapons programs. This was in the Wall Street Journal on the 25th of May, and I want to just ask you about the warning that you've sounded, and I must say it was news to me that we're really watching perhaps an assault on one of the final bastions of real excellence in the United States Navy these days, the nuclear Navy, that is, through the odd choice or decision to promote its director to the role of Chief of Naval Operations. Walk us through that, John.
Well, first of all, the 970,000 is an important point, and it comes from the Defense Business Board, which was commissioned by Secretary Gates to really, for the first time, put down the real numbers of what our bureaucracy is, and it's staggering. But the size of it is, it means that we're increasingly paralyzed in doing the kind of common sense weapons that are required. If I give you an example, the Polaris submarine program, it involved a submarine, a new missile, a new guidance system, and new warheads. Far more complex than any of the programs we're doing today. And that took from the back of an envelope saying, how about this, to the deployment, the first operational nuclear deployment of that submarine and missile system took 4 years. Today, the average, much simpler weapon systems under this constantly growing bureaucracy is 22 and a half years. And the only part of defense procurement that has been immune from this paralysis of bureaucracy has been the nuclear power program in the Navy, and that's because it was set up, it evolved under Admiral Rickover, who was really the father of the nuclear Navy, and he was totally devoted to it. He was brilliant and strong as a leader and a manager. And when he retired, we took a great deal of time and effort to see that that job was protected from the ills of the larger bureaucracy. And under President Reagan's executive order, it was set up with an 8-year term that would protect it and an independence that, while it reports to the Secretary of the Navy, nevertheless, it is immune from the constant micromanagement of dozens and dozens of levels of bureaucracy in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Chiefs, the defense agencies, and so forth.
And you've described the extraordinary success that this program has represented as a direct result. And I'm mindful of the fact that you were the man who ultimately retired Hyman Rickover over almost his dead body, as I recall. But you did, you know, establish this as a center of excellence, and it has been such to date. Why is it you're concerned that if John Richardson, the admiral that has been tapped to go be the CNO, leaves his present position, that this will be undone?
Well, first of all, Admiral Richardson, by all reports, I don't know the man, but by all reports, is a first-class leader and a fine person and would make a fine CNO. But the problem is that once you break the precedent of an 8-year tenure and allow it to be used as a stepping stone to a more glamorous office, then it's ruined forever, in my judgment, because from then on, it will its incumbents will have to serve many masters in defense, in OSD, in the Joint Staff, because to become a chairman of the Joint Chiefs or vice chairman or chief of naval operations, you have to please a lot of people, a lot of masters, and that will inevitably erode the integrity and the strength and accountability of that office. And one nuclear accident will cripple our nuclear navy.
John Lehman, we are hard out of time, I'm afraid, but this warning is very well taken. I hope it is heeded. But most especially, I wanted to thank you for your service to our country over so many years. I'd also hope to talk to you about some of your experiences on the 9/11 Commission and your assessment of how we're doing on this so-called war on terror. But that's for another day. I look forward to talking with you then.
Next up, best-selling author Diana West on the kind of respect Barack Obama is craving from the rest of the world and why it's not good for America. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.